If you would, take your Bibles and turn back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we'll be looking starting to look at the first 11 verses. I'll go ahead and warn you, this will be a two-parter. In 2 weeks, I'll have another opportunity to preach. So this You Are the Branches message will be a continuation. We'll go as far as we can today. We're going through a series for those of you who are new or haven't been here the last couple weeks. It is titled, You Are. We started the series by first looking at who God is, the great I Am, because we can't know who we are without knowing who he is, or at least not starting with him, the creator, the maker of our lives, of our souls, of our bodies, the one who knows us the best. So how can we know who we are if we don't know him? So that was the first message. And then we heard a message about the fact that we are valuable. And then now as we go through this message about last week is you are the body. You are the body of Christ. And this week we're going to start by talking about you are the branches. John chapter 15, again, is where we'll be looking. And let me just set this up. And I'm thankful that God gives us life experiences to help make his word more vivid. If you come to my house, to Tina and my house, you will notice that we do have some things growing in the front. In addition to the weeds, we have some grass, but we also have some plants. And at the beginning of this, the late spring, early summer, someone I trust a lot just had recommended, there was two similar kinds of, one was more of a, going to be a tree, and the other one was more of a shrub, and they were just sort of in the wrong place. And so I said, sounds like a good idea. So there was one day, Monday is usually my no-brain day. So I was out there working and trying to exchange the spots. And what happened was, some of you have noticed, I sometimes have been wearing a brace because I broke the shovel. it's obvious I don't do it very often. And so the shrub that I moved, when I transferred it, it's doing fine. It's still green. But right in front of our house, the one that was hoping will become a tree kind of thing, I didn't do it as well. Let's just say if the tree could talk, it would have said, call 911. I was pretty brutal because I didn't know how big the roots were. And I tried to, I don't know what I was thinking, but I didn't do a good job. So and then we planted it, and it was green. I mean, it had green leaves and all that stuff. And within a day, those green leaves were light green and a little bit withered. And I had watered the thing. Now, I can't do anything about the sun, but I can do something about the water. Apparently not. So then it went from green to autumn. Like, it changed colors to, it's not supposed to be that color. And so we're watering like crazy, and I'm not sure if it's going to make it, And so I'm like thinking, this idea of the roots and the branches, the main trunk and the branches and then the leaves, it's like life, it's like just, I was mortified about this, and I'm still, it's funny, and you have to, those of you who know me, I was praying that the tree wouldn't leave. Get it? Tree leave. I was like, please don't leave. God, please save this tree. We actually have been praying about it because God cares about all parts of our life. And the thing is, as I was thinking about that, that's at the backdrop, and then thinking about the you are passages and, just feeling like God wanted me to look at this John 15 passage where I am the vine, you are the branches. While this analogy doesn't match exactly, since the gardener is God, and I obviously am not God, and I obviously messed up on this, but this idea where life happens when you are connected well. Life happens, life flourishes when you are connected well. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Again, so we're going to start this as time permits, but I'd like to read the whole thing for us. If you would follow along, I'm reading an English Standard Version. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine. Jesus is talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father, may you be the one who speaks. May you guide my words and my thoughts so that they come through clearly. Actually, not my thoughts. Your thoughts will come through clearly. May each person here continue to worship you with engaged hearts, ears, and minds. May you do your work in Jesus' name. Amen. The vine here is Jesus Christ. The gardener is God the Father. Branches are believers, and we're going to try and break that down a little bit. And the fruit is the obvious manifestation of life, okay? So the first thing I want to park on in the time we have is that the Father, the gardener, deeply desires to see fruit from every branch. The gardener deeply, the Father deeply desires to see fruit from every branch. In this short chapter, it's mentioned at least 8 times, 3 times in verse 2, twice in verse 4, verse 5, 8, verse 16. A progression is also seen. There is the no fruit. That's not progression. That's the negative part. But then it goes to where it says there's fruit in verse 2. There's more fruit in verse 2. And then there's much fruit in verses 5 through 8. So there's this progression. There is desire. There is this norm, if you will, of a life that is connected to Jesus where there will be fruit. But it's not just normal. It is the Father's deep desire. I've mentioned Warren Wiersbe several times, and I do recommend some of his books and commentaries. He's just easy to read, and some of you may know Warren Wiersbe passed away actually this week at the age of 89, just greatly used by God to expound God's word. But I'm going to quote him a little bit here. The word results is often heard in conversations among Christian workers, but this is actually not a biblical concept when it comes to fruit. If you say, oh, well, the fruit means there's results. You see, a machine can produce results, and so can a robot, but it takes a living organism to produce fruit. It takes time and cultivation to produce fruit. Good crop does not come overnight. It's not just results. Now, we're very results-driven, whether it's in school or at work, even taking care of the yard. My result was supposed to be that I have 2 trees that are going okay, and I failed on that, or seems like it. But you see, it's easy for us to think, oh, fruit is some result, something I work hard at. In Scripture, he says here, without me, you can do nothing. And in original Greek, that means you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. So why do we think that we can do something? Why do we think if we just have hard work and good effort and good intentions that we're going to see results? Are we going to see fruit? It's because we think of it as results, whereas fruit is from a living organism that is connected to life. We must remember that the branches do not eat the fruit, others do. We are not producing fruit to please ourselves. Let me say that again. We are not producing fruit to please ourselves, but to serve others. We should be the kind of people who feed others by our words and our works. Proverbs 10:21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many. And in Scripture, there's several different kinds of fruit. We bear fruit when we win others to Jesus Christ. We are part of the harvest in John 4. As we grow in holiness and obedience, we are bearing fruit. Paul considers Christian giving to be fruit that is from a dedicated life. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. These are all manifestations. These are all indicators. Again, that's different from results. These are all indicators of life that the branch that you and I, who claim to be believers, are connected to Jesus Christ. And the thing is, as the Father has this deep desire, we are guaranteed that He will do whatever it takes so that we live up to His expectations. Or maybe to say it in a softer way or a more loving way, He would do whatever it takes for us to thrive for His glory. He will do whatever it takes for you and me to be what He created us to be. Your gifting, your personality, your temperament, your circumstances, your family, your job, your school, wherever you might be, God wants you to thrive, to produce fruit in that place as long as you're connected to Him. Now, some of you, if I ask, so how's work? I don't know how many of you say, oh, it is fruitful. I mean, Jesus would be so happy, right? A lot of times it's like, ah, it's rough. It's a challenge. So how's your marriage? Oh, praise God for my wife or my husband. It's hard. We got sideways last week, and so we had to, work through that conflict. That's the reality of life. So on the one hand, I'm saying we don't, produce fruit on our own. But when we are connected to the source of life, God can transform us. And this balance is a really hard thing for us. But it starts with the Father's deep desire to see fruit in believers. And we are guaranteed He will do whatever it takes. And the Father's job here, if we use this analogy, and realize when you read analogies, it's not always a one-to-one transference. I mean, when Scripture says very clearly that I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, you don't have to say, oh, that's symbolic. No, that's clear. It's what the analogy is telling us. But here, the basic job of the gardener, there's two. One is to destroy dead branches, and the other one is to prune live branches. Those are the only two things that are here. No fruit-bearing branches. A branch that is not bearing fruit, Scripture seems to indicate, is destroyed. And we will talk more about this. This is one reason I felt like this needed to be a two-part message. I didn't just want to gloss over it. This idea of pruning, though, another commentator I like to read, John MacArthur, says, pruning is also necessary in our spiritual lives. The Father removes sins and the superfluous things that limit our fruitfulness. And one of the best ways to cleanse us is to allow suffering and problems to come into our lives. He prunes us with a vine dresser's knife. And you know, nowadays we might talk about the pruning shears, things like that. But God takes sharp things in our life. He is not out there to make our life unnecessarily painful. But we have to understand His goal and His desire is for our good and for His glory. Always. Whatever you are going through, it is for your good and for His glory, because He's not a messed up God. He is not an angry God that just is having a bad day. He created you and loved you, and He is the source of your life. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and the Father is the vine dresser, and He will do whatever it takes to prune us so that we go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. That is our life. That is the path of joy, as verse 11 talks about. That is the path of joy. If joy is something that you're not experiencing, this may be why. That's why I said, let's analyze, let's take stock and evaluate our side of the relationship with God. We don't earn our relationship with God, but we can grow in our relationship with God, and are we intentionally growing? He prunes us, and sometimes it hurts. And sometimes we wonder if He knows what He's doing. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we withdraw. But because the Father is committed to seeing fruit in our lives, He will lovingly do whatever it takes. Spiritual pruning can take many forms, and listen carefully, it's not every time like this, but sometimes there's sickness and hardship or loss of material possessions. It could be persecution or slander. It could be a grieving situation where there's a loss. But whatever the method, the effect is to narrow our focus and strengthen the quality of our fruit. Those of you who do know a lot about, is it horticulture? Is that the right word? Agriculture. I think you will understand fully that there is this idea of pruning, and you see fruit. Again, my father-in-law has a green thumb. I mean, he can make, you know, he can make anything green. And he was telling me last year, he was saying, I have this little rose bush. And he was just telling me where to cut. Because I would go and hack, 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 you know, just like, oh, okay, I pruned. No, I killed it, right? But he was telling me, now you got to look how the branches grow. And there's a certain point where you clip it. It's like, okay, you know, I have learned over the years to really follow and embrace his advice. And so we did that. And right now we have a gazillion roses on that bush. Because pruning produces fruit every time. And that is the Father's desire. Whatever the method that God uses, we can be assured that He cares and wants us to bear much fruit. He wants to free us from the shoots that drain our life and energy. Part of pruning is you cut off the little things that are just actually sucking the life out, that are unnecessarily taking away resources. For each of us, it might be different. God knows you. He knows what kind of tree, what kind of bush, what kind of grapevine you are. And He will skillfully, but for sure He will, prune you. And what might be okay for one person is not okay in your life, because God knows this will suck resources. This will suck the life out of you so that you don't produce fruit. You know, in our backyard, it's not like I'm a great green thumb, but we inherited several fruit trees. And I just tell you, I have no idea. There's some years we have pears galore. I even have a persimmon tree. And the thing is, some years there is just fruit everywhere. And some years it's just the leaves are green and that's it. I don't understand it. And if you want to help, let me know. But there is this something that I never prune it. I never do anything with it. And so there's just certain times where there's no fruit. Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher who's already with the Lord, said this: the word of God is often the knife with which the great husbandman, or the vine dresser, prunes the vine. And brothers and sisters, if we were more willing to feel the edge of the word and to let it cut away something that may be very dear to us, we should not need so much pruning by affliction. He's basically saying if we allow God's word to be the sharp, two-edged sword, Hebrews talks about, if we allow God's word to work in our lives, then perhaps other things like trials and affliction would not be necessary. He goes on to say, it is because that first knife of God's word does not always produce the desired result, that another sharp tool is used by which we are effectually pruned. Now, there's one question that often will come to mind is, who are the burned branches? Who are the dead branches that are cut off? And I will just submit to you before we close that the burned branches, some people think one option is the burned branches are Christians who have lost their salvation. Okay, and I, at least in my understanding of the God's word and theology, I don't think that's possible. And we'll in a couple weeks, we'll look at some passages that show us that we cannot lose salvation, that we are cannot be plucked out of the Father's hands. So Bible interprets Bible, right? That is not an option. I could see some people saying that by reading this analogy. The other option some people will say when it comes to the burned branches, it represents Christians who will lose rewards but not their salvation. Like, they'll get into heaven, they won't die and go to hell, but when they get to heaven, God's going to be, man, I wanted to give you rewards, but you wouldn't let me. You did not live the life I intended. Come on in. You know, kind of thing. But Jesus spoke here, the terminology he used, like these are dead branches. They're thrown away. They're burned, and other passages talks about. So I personally don't go that way. The third option that some people talk about is that these burned branches refer to people who profess to be Christians, but who, like Judas, and you got to think in analogy, in context, John chapter 15 is Jesus talking his disciples. This is before he's going to be betrayed by Judas. Okay, it was after Lord's Supper. And he said, not all of you are clean. But Judas was with Jesus all this time. Judas was not genuinely saved, and therefore he was judged. And like a dead branch, a person without Christ is spiritually dead, and therefore will be punished in eternal fire. Now, again, we're going to unpack that some more. But this is a very important concept for us to embrace, that this is the Father's deep desire, that every one of us in here are producing fruit that will bring him glory. And it'll bring you joy. It'll bring you a deep sense of his love. It'll be a peace that passes understanding, that all goes together with bearing fruit. So my friends, if you are not feeling loved, if you are not experiencing joy, if the peace that passes understanding is not happening at all, then you need to ask yourself, am I connected to the vine? That's a hard thing to ask. Many of us struggle with temptations and sins. And if you struggle and the Holy Spirit convicts and you go back and you ask God for forgiveness, those are all good signs because that's the Holy Spirit working. But if there's just no desire, no desire, no fruit that is happening. Several weeks ago, I preached about the fruits of repentance. Then, my friends, know that God's desire is that you will produce fruit. You either are connected to the branch, to the vine, or you're not. I either am walking with the Lord and abiding in him or desiring to abide in him, and there's a big spectrum. Some of us are better than others. Some of us have walked with God longer, whatever it might be. But the thing is, at the end of the day, do you see fruit? If there's zero fruit, my friends, that is not a good sign. You cannot lose your salvation. But this fruitfulness will come as we abide in him. It is a result of the Son's life being reproduced in us. So how do we take a pause? How do we take a pause right here? I'd like us to think about this idea of abide and remain. It is mentioned several times. Go ahead and I ask that you will read through the scriptures and just sort of meditate on John chapter 15 in the coming weeks. You are the branch. You are branches. That is what God has called you. That is your identity as a child of God. But with it comes not only the responsibility, but the privilege to produce fruit for his kingdom. What is that fruit? What does it mean to abide? You and God wrestle through that. I'll give you some thoughts in a few weeks. But the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. Are you a true branch? Are you producing fruit? Are you abiding in him? Let's go away from here with that thought. Let's wrestle with it. Let us worship the God of this universe. Let us be humble and teachable, because that is the Father's deep desire. And that is where you and I will find the deepest joy and the deepest satisfaction, where we will experience the abundant life that he desires every one of us here to experience. So let's bow our heads, let's give this to God, and let us continue to process through this. Our Father, even though I didn't quote-unquote complete the sermon, your word is complete. And Lord, I challenge and I encourage each of us here, starting with myself, to meditate on your word. Help us to be believers that invest in you, in our relationship with you. God, these are sobering words, and these are also amazing, powerful, life-giving words. You are the vine. We are the branches. And you have made us so that we produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. as our dear young brothers and sisters today will be sharing their testimony of how they got connected to you, how they put their trust in you, and as they publicly declare their faith, I ask that this journey of sanctification will continue not only in their life, but in each person here that claims to be a Christ follower. So help us to wrestle. Help us to be honest. I thank you for recently I heard through Pastor Art that there was someone in our church who has been serving here for a while, but just recently put their trust in you because they realized that they had not ever made that decision. And so, God, we desire to be honest with you, and we desire to please you. So thank you, and I pray that in your life-giving name, you will continue to grow us to be the church, to be the individuals that you have created us to be, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.